Good morning. This morning, I'd like to talk about the third characteristic mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, that Kyle just read to us there. That is the characteristic of knowledge. In previous lessons, for those that are visitors and those that are here that don't remember, I've talked about the first two characteristics in this passage, faith and virtue. So like I said this morning, we're going to pick up with knowledge, the third characteristic here. In this passage, talking about the attitudes, we started off by establishing our Christian foundation, our faith. We as Christians know that God is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That Jesus is the Son of God, and that He died for our sins. And that without Him dying for our sins, we could not have a hope of eternal life with He and our Father in heaven. That is the faith that we are talking about, adding to in this passage. That faith, like I said, is our foundation. Without that faith, it would be pointless for us to follow God and our Savior. And like I said, in our last lesson, we talked about the first attitude, virtue. We are told to add to our faith virtue. We define virtue as the desire within our hearts to strive for moral excellence, for the desire within our hearts to perform God's will, to strive to perform God's will. And as we have talked about in both of these previous lessons, the attitudes seem to be building blocks, or perhaps rungs on a ladder, each characteristic leading to the next characteristic, or next step. Of course, we will be working on all these characteristics on an ongoing basis throughout our lives, but each characteristic also seems to be necessary in some part, or to some degree, to lead us on to the next characteristic. Because of our faith in God and Jesus, we in turn have an overwhelming desire to do their will. And because of that overwhelming desire to do their will, we will in turn desire the knowledge of what that will is for our lives. So, as I said, the next characteristic in line that we're going to talk about this morning in our growth in Christ is knowledge. And we are told in verse 5, at the end of verse 5, to add to our virtue knowledge. This morning, if you will, for a few minutes, we're going to talk about what knowledge is or isn't. We will read, of course, a few passages from God's Word about knowledge, and we will discuss how we go about attaining that knowledge and how important that knowledge is to us. So what is knowledge? The state of knowing something? Is that what we are talking about? I've known many things in my life, only to find out that I didn't know what I was talking about. Or thinking about. And I'm sure we're all in that same case. It seems like we always know things, and then we find out we don't really know that thing. We don't have that knowledge. Haven't we all had many conversations in our life with people from the workplace, people in school, or people just out in your everyday life, where we argued or we discussed with someone some fact, some piece of knowledge that we knew? For whatever reason, I've always known it. I heard something about it in the media, or I heard somebody else talking about it. Only to find out later that we had no idea what we were talking about. That wasn't knowledge. We were wrong. We heard, and from some form of media, we heard that the person we were talking to about it, they were actually right, and we were wrong. Is this knowledge? Was this knowledge? Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians 8 and 2, we read, "And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know." We don't always know what we think we know. We often think ourselves smarter than we actually are. Hopefully, if we find ourselves in this circumstance, after the fact, we will let the other person know that we realized we were wrong in that discussion, that argument we were having with them, and we didn't really know what we were talking about. We didn't have that knowledge that we thought we did. Of course, we're talking, getting into pride there. Oftentimes, we don't acknowledge that. Pride isn't our lesson this morning, so we'll leave it at that. I've got much knowledge swimming around in my brain from my lifetime of loving baseball. We all have different things that we have knowledge on, facts and figures, things of that nature. Joe Ballman hit 72 home runs for the Roswell Rockets in 1954 to establish the professional single-season home run record. Roswell Rockets, that doesn't ring a bell to anybody. That's not the major leagues, of course. It was a professional record. It was a minor league team at that time. George Brett hit 390 in 1980. We all remember George Brett well here. For the highest batting average, single-season batting average, since Ted Williams at 406 in 1941. And Willie Wilson, another former Kansas City Royal, was the first American League baseball player to get 100 hits from both sides of the plate in the same year. And he did that also in 1980, the same year George Brett hit 390. Gary Templeton had done it in the National League the year before in 1979. Is this even knowledge? Two of these three pieces of knowledge are not even completely accurate anymore. Joe Ballman no longer has the professional record for home runs in a single season, since, as we know, Barry Bonds hit 73 back in 2001. And George Brett also no longer has the highest single-season batting average since 1941, since we know Tony Gwynn hit 394 in 1994. Herein lies one of the issues with attaining knowledge, earthly knowledge, certainly. Within a few years, that which was thought to be knowledge may cease to be so. Of course, in the case of these baseball records, the first instances still stand in the record books, so they are, of course, still part of knowledge. They are just no longer the number one or the ultimate for that area of achievement on their list. A better example of knowledge becoming obsolete is one that, for some reason, I always think about. I hear things about it, and I always remember this one, and that's the egg dilemma. I recall that for years, we were told that we should not eat more than 2 eggs per week. This started in the early to mid-70s, I think, and dietitians, nutritionists said it's not healthy for you to eat more than that because of the cholesterol content in the eggs, and it'll affect our cholesterol. At that time, that was the healthy eating knowledge for eggs. Now, we are being told by the media that if you are relatively healthy currently, you can even eat as much as an egg a day. So now we can eat 7 eggs a week. We've gone from 2 eggs to 7 eggs in 1 week. So now that becomes the healthy eating knowledge on eggs. And a few years from now, who knows, that might change again. Who knows, maybe they'll tell us we need to eat several eggs a day in order to be as healthy as possible. There's no way of knowing what the future will hold in that respect. So one of the major problems that will arise from knowledge that we accumulate about and of this world is that it may eventually become obsolete through scientific research, in this case through research done by dietitians and nutritionists and people of that nature, learning more about the human body, learning more about the things that we put into our bodies. They're changing their minds all the time. There's always different knowledge that's updating. They're changing the idea. They're changing knowledge. Let's look at a few passages from the Bible, if we will, about knowledge. If you will turn over with me to Proverbs, we'll be over there for a couple of minutes here. We will start by looking at several passages there in Proverbs. I don't know about you, but I know I don't always give the Proverbs the proper respect they deserve. I assume it's because they're so short, and they often seem so simple or so just commonsensical. We don't always give them the respect they deserve. But keep in mind that these sayings are the inspired word of God, of course. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So if we fear the Lord, if we get to know the Lord and we fear the Lord, that's where our knowledge will begin. Because as we fear the Lord, we will want to do what the Lord tells us to do. We will want to learn what we can do so we don't have to fear the Lord so much. We will seek His knowledge. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. So from the mouth of the Lord, we gain wisdom, we gain knowledge and understanding. That's where our knowledge comes from the mouth of the Lord. Chapter 8 and verse 10. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than gold. So we get instruction, God's instruction, God's knowledge, that's going to be of more value to us than silver, or even more value than gold. It'll actually even be more valuable than anything we can ever attain in this earthly life. Chapter 12 and verse 1. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. If we love instruction, we love knowledge, we'll seek out God's knowledge, God's instruction. If we hate reproof, we're ignorant, we're stupid. God reproves us. Knowledge, if we seek God's knowledge, we're going to be reproved. We're going to be corrected. And if we don't listen to that, then it says we are stupid. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 15. The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. So if we have a prudent heart, if we have a wise ear, we will seek God's knowledge. We will acquire God's knowledge. And the last one in Proverbs that I'm going to read is 24 and verse 5. Proverbs 24 and verse 5. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. So if we're wise, if we have knowledge, we will be strong. We will increase our strength, in fact. We will become stronger and stronger. A better definition of knowledge than that we discussed before would be acquaintance with facts, truths, or principles as from study or investigation. The key to this definition being through study or investigation. In a group this size, of course, we have many different levels of knowledge in many different areas within our group this morning. We have vast knowledge. Amongst us, we have people that have knowledge in teaching, in engineering, computer programming, counseling, financial institutions, banking, and insurance, and different things. And most, if not all, that knowledge was accumulated or has been accumulated over lifetimes of study, beginning during our primary and secondary school years, continuing throughout college years, and continuing on during our working years. We take training all the time at work. I just got back from training a couple weeks ago. We're always training. We're always trying to learn more things. We're learning on the job. We're always trying to increase our knowledge in our chosen field. We have all studied for many, many hours of our lives in order to acquire this knowledge for our work or private lives. More hours than any of us would care to count. As I stated when talking about my baseball knowledge, we also have spent much time studying and gaining knowledge in areas of personal interest to us, in areas of hobbies, things that we enjoy, things that we love. There's all kinds of knowledge out in the world. Unfortunately, most of it is really pretty unimportant when we think about it, certainly in the grand scheme of things. Most of us have accumulated quite a bit of knowledge pertaining to our worldly vocations, like we just spoke about. And this is certainly something that is very important. As we know, God expects us to do the best we can in all we do. Turning over to Ephesians chapter 6, God expects us to do our best in our vocations, in our jobs also, certainly. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. Servants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. So as we see here, God expects us as servants, and that's what we are to our employers, in a manner of speaking, as servants or employees, to be obedient to those that are our masters. With fear and trembling, we're supposed to do this as we would if we were doing it to Christ or to God. Not with eye services, men pleasers, not just to look good, not just when they're watching us, but all the time. When we're in our chosen fields, we are to do our work to the best of our abilities. as we would do anything in our service for God. And if we do that, we will be rewarded in the end. In Colossians chapter 3, along that same line, Colossians 3, verses 22 and 23. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. The first verse is basically a repeat of what we just talked about, but that second verse, whatever we do, do it heartily. When we work for our employers here on this earth, we're supposed to do it heartily. We're supposed to do it with our best. We're supposed to do it as if we were doing it for our Lord and not just for men. As we can see here, God expects us to do the best we can for our employers. So we certainly need to acquire as much knowledge as possible to perform service for our employer. So we should strive for that knowledge and that excellence in whatever field you choose to work in. But think with me for a minute about all those people who are retired from their chosen field. All those people that are retired, I intended to talk to my father, ask him a couple questions about this, but I didn't. But I'm fairly confident I know what his answers would be. All that vast knowledge that they accumulated over the years that aided them in performing their jobs to the best of their ability, what good will that knowledge do them now that they are retired? Not a whole lot, not much. I don't think my father, I don't think many retired people give a whole lot of thought to what they left behind when they retired. Aside from perhaps, and not just perhaps, but I'm sure this is the case, giving them the peace of mind because of course, at least the retirement funds it provided for them and their families, things of that nature, if it provided them sustenance through the remainder of their life. Other than that, nothing at all. There's nothing really that has any bearing on their lives after they retire. All this knowledge that we spent all this time accumulating is going to be meaningless. Obviously, this is not the knowledge that Peter is talking about in 2 Peter chapter 1. No matter how much knowledge we can accumulate about the things of this world in our lifetime, we will be no closer to adding to our virtue knowledge. We are, of course, talking about a different kind of knowledge in this passage. As we stated at the beginning of this lesson, we are adding to our faith that Jesus is the Son of God because of our virtue to strive with the deepest desire of our heart to live our lives according to God's will, and now adding to that deep desire, the knowledge of God's will. So now we know that no knowledge will do us any good to add to our virtue, but the knowledge of God and His will for us and for our lives. And for that knowledge, we can only turn, of course, to the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, Peter's closing salutation here. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Simply, He's imploring them to continue to grow in grace, continue to grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 1, verses 17 and 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And God will give us the spirit of wisdom and the knowledge of Him that we might know the hope of His calling, and we might know the riches of God's glory and our inheritance. A little farther along in Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 17, this could fit in with the Proverbs. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It's unwise for us to not know the will of the Lord. It's unwise for us, as we know, to not seek God's knowledge and not know, have God's knowledge in our hearts and live our lives according to God's knowledge. Has there ever been another book written that can share with us as much knowledge as the Word of God? I can think of no other book that can impart more and more knowledge and wisdom with each subsequent reading throughout our lives. We've all heard it spoken by men and women learned in the Scriptures that no matter how long they study the Bible, they still glean more nuggets out of a passage of Scripture as they study throughout their lives. I've never had an experience with any other book that teaches me something new, something that I need to add to my life, the 22nd time I read the exact same passage as the first time I read that passage. Only the Bible, only the inspired Word of God, has the ability to do this for us, for our lives. Here's a quote along that same line from a reference book I was reading that I liked. And the amazing thing that I've discovered about this book is that every time I read it, there is something new. There is something fresh that ministers to my spirit. It never grows old. I never think, oh, I've read that before, or, oh, I know that. For as I read it prayerfully and carefully, I find that the Spirit opens up a new vista of truth that I had never discovered before. It's a book that is constantly unfolding its beauty unto my heart. As I read it, as I come to know God, as I grow in that grace through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. I don't want to neglect the Holy Spirit, as was just mentioned in that quote there, when discussing obtaining the knowledge of God. As we read over in John chapter 14, John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The Holy Spirit was given to us, is given to us to help us to understand, to help us to glean knowledge as we study God's Word. And also over in 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 and 27. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. We see that the Holy Spirit is anointed on us when we become a child of God. And he, of course, gives us great assistance in gaining the knowledge and understanding of our Father and our Savior as we study the Word of God. God is truly awesome and amazing to be able to write a book that can always be new and fresh to us, no matter how many times we read it. He knows, he has the knowledge that we need to study it for our entire earthly life to continually grow as a child of his, so he made sure his Word is always fresh for us. As we stated, the only path for us to follow to gain the knowledge of God and his will for us is through the reading and studying of his Word. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 17, Deuteronomy 17, verses 18 and 19. Also it shall be, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book, from the one before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. So it's written so that it will be with us. Of course, we in this day and age have several Bibles sitting around in our homes. We've always got a Bible handy. We've always got a Bible with us. I've got one at work also. So no matter where we're at, we can pull out the Word of God and read it and study it. And we need to do that all the days of our life. And we will be able to have the knowledge that God wants us to have so that we can observe his words, observe his laws, observe his statutes. Back over to John chapter 5 and verse 39. John 5 and 39. You search the Scriptures. From them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. So we search the Scriptures. Through the Scriptures we're going to be able to gain eternal life. And in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans 15 and 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. All the things written in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the entire Bible is written for our learning, for our knowledge. And through the Scripture, we can have hope. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2. I think many of you probably have this passage memorized. Psalm 1 and 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. We delight in the law of the Lord. Where is the law of the Lord? That is God's word. That is God's knowledge. And in this law, in God's knowledge, we meditate day and night. And back over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. Certainly a well-known passage for this purpose. 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We know that all God's word is profitable to us. All God's word gives us profitable knowledge. This is the profitable doctrine. It is worth more than silver or gold, as we talked about before. It is worth more than any retirement nest egg our vocations can ever provide for us. This knowledge will reprove and correct us. It will turn us back to the right when we are on the wrong. It will provide us all the knowledge we will ever need for righteousness' sake. And better yet, don't fear, it will never become obsolete. Nothing will ever trump it like all the earthly knowledge that we've spent so much time accumulating. We will be complete, furnished for everything that God asks us to do. I didn't have this in my notes necessarily, but I wanted to mention before we get ready to close here in that passage in 2 Peter, and I don't think I've mentioned this in talking about the first two characteristics. One of the first things it says in that verse is giving all diligence. What more can we give to God for everything God's done for us? God gives us life. God gives us everything we have. The silver, the gold, the retirement nest egg, it's all due to God. The food that we take in, the shelter that we have, it's all because of God. So what more can we give to God than the diligence to increase our faith, the diligence to add to that faith virtue, diligently add to that virtue knowledge. As we talked about previously, we all have done much studying and searching for knowledge in the things of this world, whether it be for our work or for our pleasure. Certainly the things that we study and learn about for our pleasure, we do because we enjoy gaining knowledge about that which gives us pleasure. I would challenge myself and each of you to seek out methods of enjoying your seeking the knowledge of God. It's not always something that we find enjoyable to, sometimes we have to force ourselves to do that, but seek out ways to make it more enjoyable. That knowledge which we enjoy seeking is going to be much more beneficial to us in the long run than that which we do just because we must. Of course, even if we don't find ourselves enjoying seeking God's wisdom, we still must in order to add that knowledge to our virtue, add that knowledge to our faith. Without the knowledge that we can only gain through God's word, I fear we will not be able to enter into the kingdom with our brothers and sisters at the end of time. If anybody out there at this time has faith that Jesus is the Son of God, has faith that Jesus died for your sins, and wants to begin to build on that faith, add to that faith virtue and add to that virtue knowledge, we ask you to come forward at this time, and you have the opportunity to turn your life over to God. We can stand as we sing the invitation song.